So, you've just finished A Court of Thorn and Roses, and you're craving another fantasy world to devour. Dipsy's got your back. Dive into spicy enemies-to-lovers tales, or embark on an epic romance between immortal fae and sworn foes. They've got fantasy romance stories perfect for your morning walk, late night, or long bath.
Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups. I gotta tell you that the immersive soundscapes are really what makes a good sexy story different from a not good sexy story, because it just like adds, like, it's hard sometimes in like reading a novel to like get the actual feel of what's going on, but when it's like, oh, we're like at the coffee shop and this is like actually happening, it's like very different.
And there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era historical fiction for you, Sam, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore.
Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high quality and captivating audio fiction. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup.
That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. dipsystories.com/justbreakup.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to answer a letter from somebody who's suffocating under the weight of her family's unsolicited advice. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners.
No, but we do give advice.
Unsolicited. So like, yeah, that's true.
Content
it's usually
warning.
Not unsolicited.
Sam and I are not professionals. We're not trained in any of this. So please take our advice as you see fit in your life. We're only here to offer our humble musings to hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some laughs about the incredibly rewarding but mostly confusing experience that is love. All right. Today's letter is coming to us from Failing at Adulthood, whose pronouns are she and they, and who is writing to us from the Tupperware at the back of the fridge. Hi, Sam, Sierra, and Spencer. Within the last year, I moved to a new city in my home state and started a new job with health insurance and a 401k, which honestly feels surreal. A profession isn't something I expected to have at 26, especially having two history degrees. Also, during these past several months, my social life has also expanded. While I'm still looking to make more friends, I managed to start a book club with some of my coworkers and am starting little solo adventures and dates. To be honest, I feel really proud of myself and the life I'm building, and I'm starting to love my life in a way that I haven't before. But these feelings of pride and love have been thrown off kilter due to the recent visit of my family. Damn, they always seem to do that, don't they? You're
so
feeling
true.
Good about yourself, and then some shit from your childhood pops up. My parents visited me for the first time in several months and were in town for a long weekend. This also overlapped with my brother staying with me for over half the week. It was a lot. I'm so grateful, though, that they were willing to make the drive to visit me, as I'm several hours away from my hometown, and I really enjoyed so much of the time we spent together. My mom and brother, though, made some comments that heightened some of my anxieties and left me to stew in my insecurities. My mom is always making comments that I'm not washing my hair well enough. This time was no different. Immediately after dinner on our first night together, she looks at me and says, "I need to keep scrubbing my head until the water runs cold when I'm showering, and I'm not using the right type of shampoo. I just nodded and agreed because I know I'm washing my hair correctly and avoided telling her that maybe I should just shave all my hair off so I don't have to listen to these comments anymore. She wouldn't have appreciated that. My annoyance with my mom's comment was worsened by a couple experiences with my brother. My brother is 5 years older than I am, and we have grown closer over the past decade. He is one of the only people I ever call just to chat with, and I'm constantly inspired by his depth and compassion. Yet, he has an uncanny ability of making me feel small and unheard. This is in part due to the fact that he can be very judgmental and holds a lot of convictions that his views of things are right. Anyway, on one of these days he was staying with me, I had to go to work, and he assured me that he would be fine and that he would just do his own thing around town. When I came home, though, I found out that he had spent half the day cleaning my apartment. He vacuumed the rug, swept the living room floor and bathroom, washed all my dishes, cleaned off my stove, and even went so far as to clean my fridge. It made me feel like my living space was dirty, so much so that he couldn't handle it. I mentioned this to him, and he said he meant it as an act of service because he knows that I don't like cleaning. He was referencing a conversation we had had the previous night in which I talked about the struggle to find time to clean because of this capitalistic hellscape. So much of the time of the week is taken up by working full time, and that I haven't figured out a cleaning system that has worked for me yet. When I think about him cleaning my apartment, my skin crawls a little bit, and I think it's because he did it without asking. It just feels a little invasive. Does that make sense? Then, on the last night he was here, we had a conversation that made me kind of angry. I'm currently working at my state's government, and while it is a good job to start my career in, I don't think it's a forever job. The pay isn't sustainable in the long term. Also, it just doesn't offer any long-term growth. I know that after 5 years, I'll feel stagnant. I expressed this to my brother, and he seemed to understand, but the next day, while we were out for a walk, he brought up the topic again and said he understood my concerns, and he just felt like my state needed me more than some place else would. For context, where I live struggles economically and is politically conservative, so a lot of young people end up moving away. He suggested that maybe I could just move to a different department in the state government. He also said that because of the state's struggles, that my work is more meaningful than it would be somewhere else. It was kind of demeaning and is part of a larger pattern of him and my mom thinking they know what's best for my life and the way I should live it. It all just has me feeling like I'm failing at being an adult. There are important tasks that I struggle to do in a timely manner, but they always do eventually get done. But getting them done obviously isn't enough. It feels like I'm not doing something right, that they would leave me alone if I was a successful adult. Like, I must obviously not be taking care of myself. These are anxieties that are always lingering in the back of my mind anyway, so this behavior from two people so dear to me just feels like confirmation that life and the world is in fact too much for me to handle. Usually, I'm content to play happy and stupid with my mom and brother, as everyone in my family has the tendency to get easily defensive when critiqued or when conversations start getting uncomfortable. But my ability to bear all this unsolicited advice is wavering. What are some ways that I can establish boundaries with them? How can I talk to them in a way that doesn't make them automatically defensive? Or maybe there is a better way to process all of their comments and be more confident in myself, while also accepting genuine critique and advice that will help improve my life. Thank y'all for the time and effort that you dedicate to this podcast. As I've listened over the past couple of years, your advice and musings have prompted some important self-reflections and helped me grow. I will be forever grateful. With love, Failing at Adulthood.
Oh, thank you so much, Failing at Adulthood, for writing to us. I'm going to change your name to Doing Fine at Adulthood. Because all of the things that you're naming about how challenging it is to sort of live in this like weird, awful capitalist society that we live in, and finding and the morality that we place on things like cleaning or taking care of ourselves, like all of that stuff as well, makes it really challenging. And you are doing what you need to do, right? Whether or not your refrigerator is clean actually doesn't say anything about you as a human or whether or not you're successful. And I also just want to name that, you know, Tia and I picked this letter, I think, because I deeply relate to this particular moment that you are in of being somebody who's trying to establish themselves as an adult and figure out what does it look like for me to manage the things that I need to manage and take care of myself in the way that I need to take care of them and have those things feel like they're being undermined by people trying to either offer help or unsolicited advice or being controlling or condescending, all of which are really true. Mm-hmm. So I just want to name that I see you in that and I feel that with you. And I think I went through similar stuff when I was in my mid-20s as well with my parents and my family and my understanding of myself. So I think Sierra and I are going to hopefully offer you some advice on how you can take care of yourself in this time, in this like new sort of budding adulthood, and also sort of hold what your brother and mother are telling you and doing in a way that sort of places whatever they're thinking and saying about you on them and not about you or whether or not you are being a competent adult. Yeah. So we're going to get into that in just a minute. But before that, we're going to take a short break.
Y'all, as a self-employed person, as a mom of a toddler, I am always struggling with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money and it does all of that for me.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, you have full control over your subscriptions and a clear view of your expenses. You can see all your subscriptions in one place. And if you see something you don't want, Rocket Money can help cancel it with a few taps.
I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits and check myself if needed. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money will even help try to negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you, which I obviously love as a somewhat introverted, conflict avoidant person.
Absolutely. Rocket Money has over 5 million subscribers and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/justbreakup.
That's rocketmoney.com/justbreakup. rocketmoney.com/justbreakup.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
All right, my darlings, welcome back. This letter reminds me so strongly of the meme that goes something like, you think you're healed, ? Go to your parents' house for the weekend. I don't remember exactly the
That's a good
verbiage,
meme, though. I like it.
I love the sentiment of that meme because it's so true, man. You think you're on your healing journey. You're establishing great boundaries and a connected community, and you're starting to love your life. And then, man, nothing will make you feel more like a vulnerable, defensive child than being around your family members.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
I'm the youngest out of three sisters, and I just now, I'll be 38 next month. I just now in my life don't feel the youngest child dynamic when we all get together. You know, like there's still
I'm excited.
Like,
okay, so 2 years. That's when it's gonna stop happening.
Yeah.
I just have to wait another two years.
Because I had a baby, to be honest. And my, there it is. You know what I mean? Like it, that kind of like yeah. disrupts, you're no longer, you know, I have another dependent on me.
yeah, for sure.
But, and it was also honestly like a lot of conversations in therapy and my life and starting to just see people as people and not as, labels as sister and parent, you know, but yeah, so it takes a long time. You know, the dynamics between you and your family members are so well, what's the word, trodden?
Sure.
Thank you. So. I love when I surprise Sam with my, I don't know.
With the word, I'm like, I don't think that trodden is a word, but maybe it is.
well trodden.
I think well.
God damn it. This is a throwback.
Well trodden. Yeah.
Yes. If you have no fucking clue what we're referencing for the first 4.5 years of this podcast, I would routinely say words that weren't real or mispronounce words. So the fact that I'm right now shows, see, I've evolved past the person I was. Anyway, so those patterns in your family dynamics are so, they're such well-worn paths, right? And even when you in your everyday life are kicking ass or healing or growing or leaning into that discomfort, all of a sudden the discomfort from your family members just feels like searing hot, and you are that child again that has to prove that you're not that child again. You know, this letter makes a lot of sense to me, and I know that these are just two examples of a pattern in your relationships with your family members, and that you're feeling particularly sensitive right now because of this new, vulnerable, and magical life that you're building. Like, you feel like you, like Sam referenced, this point of time at 26 where you are, you know, not a child and not yet a woman, Britney Spears sort of style, you know, not a girl, not yet a woman. Like you're in the middle of that world, and you're trying that. 26 is really when I started being like, oh, life is different than I thought it would be, and I'm different than I thought I would be. And then all of a sudden you're like, How can I do this? How can I exist with a career and a dirty fridge and triggers and mistakes and stuff like that? So this is just a vulnerable time in general. Add to the fact that our families bring us back to our most core wounds.
I think I kind of want to talk about the mom stuff and the brother stuff kind of separately, mostly because, like, fuck what your mom said about your hair.
Read.
Like, I don't think
adult children of emotionally immature parents.
Yeah.
To settle that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that is, frankly, none of her business. And secondly, like, not anything that she needs to talk to you about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I appreciate that you held your tongue before the comment about shaving your head. But also, I'm like, I don't know, you could have said that and I would have been like, good for you. You know, like, you know, I think that, like, when we talk about cheerful and stupid as being a tactic that we can use around people who are not willing to, like, meet us in vulnerability, I want to just, like, name that cheerful and stupid thing is about keeping ourselves calm and sane and safe, right? Like, it's not about not making people defensive or making, like, it's not about the other person. It's about how are we sort of navigating through this situation in a way that feels like, oh, I don't want to cause this because I don't want to have to deal with the fallout of it, right? So, like, I want to just name that, like, I don't want you to be walking through your life fearful of other people's defensiveness so much so that you just, like, swallow everything that they give you, right? That you just, like, take it wholesale. I want you to be able to push back on your mom and say, like, mom, you can wash your hair in the way that you would like to wash it, and I will wash mine in the way that I like to wash it. And this is the end of the conversation that we're going to have about my hair, right? And if she gets defensive, she gets defensive, but that's on her. It's not on you. And I totally understand if you if you want to be cheerful and stupid about that stuff because you want to protect your own peace. But I don't know that that's what's motivating you right now, right? Like, what it seems like is motivating you is a desire to not make them feel defensive. But I think your mom deserves to feel something about how she's talking to you, right? Like, I think she deserves to know that this is like not an appropriate thing for you to be telling, for her to be telling you. And I think that you deserve it to say that kind of stuff to her. You don't have to be mean or catty about it. But if she says stuff like that, I think you can respond and say, like, that's none of your business and I'm not going to talk about it with you. And then when she gets defensive, you can say, you're getting defensive about this, so I'm going to leave, right? Like, it is not your job to caretake for all of your parents' emotions. And I know that that is probably the role that you've been playing, like, especially as a youngest child. Like, I deeply know how that kind of dynamic happens. But I think that, like, it's not your role to make sure that your mother never feels defensive, right? Like, that is not actually going to serve you super well. And I think what you need to think about is, okay, well, what are the things that I'm going to do to manage when she gets defensive so that I'm not thinking to myself, I need to fix this, right? And I'm telling you this as if I am looking in a mirror. like this is true of me here now in my age of 35, right? Like, I still am figuring out what this looks like. But the important thing is to think about here is that, like, it's not your job to coddle your mother so much that she never feels an emotion about the things that she's, the rude and uncomfortable things that she's saying to you, mm-hmm. right? It is not your job to just swallow that pill and let it poison you, right?
So you
that
she, like, never feels bad. I'm not going to talk about your mom.
No, I said I was going to talk about them separately.
Oh, I thought you were... I misheard you. Okay, yeah. Yeah, sorry, my bad. I thought you were like, I'm not going to talk about your mom, but fuck her.
No, I was also like, you know? Just like, because fuck your mom. Like, this is the things that she's saying to you are like, not cool.
My bad.
No. But I think it's just like, that piece is like, say what you need to say to this woman and, like, tell her that this is not okay and not acceptable, right? Talk to her and then hold up that boundary regardless of how defensive she gets. And I know that that's really hard because, like, trying to keep the waters calm is probably something that seems like really important to you. And sometimes the waters need to get ruffled so that people see that they can't just, like, sail into you over and over again and pretend like you're, like, it doesn't bother you.
I really love the image of ruffled water.
Shut up.
No, I really like it. I want to take this opportunity to do a quick reminder about what boundaries are, right? A boundary isn't, mom, you can't ask me about my hair anymore, right? The boundary is, if you bring up my hair again, I will not participate in that conversation and I will remove myself from the room. Or a boundary is, if you keep talking about my hair, I'm not going to answer your phone anymore. Or if you bring this up again, da, 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 da. A boundary isn't about getting other people to control. A boundary isn't controlling other people's behavior. A boundary is you setting up some sort of action between you and that behavior if they choose to do it again. And a boundary is separate. It's a different thing than what Sam is suggesting additionally, which is you're allowed to ruffle that water. You're allowed to say something back, to defend yourself. And also, at the same time, like, that's equally as important as understanding that for the rest of your life, people are going to bring their opinions to you. And those opinions aren't telling us anything about your life, about your value, about your effectiveness, about your worthiness, your lovability. Like, other people's, I'm still to this day trying to loosen my relationship to other people's opinions because I'm realizing how much I still let them affect me, even when I don't care about them at all. And I know this is 10,000 times more complicated because it's your fucking mother, you know? But you might be bold and brave and steadfast and have these boundaries and have these ruffled conversations, and your mom still might be this person. And then you have to, that's where the boundaries come in, right? That's where you're like, I'm not participating in this relationship in this way anymore. You don't have access to me in this way anymore, or whatever. You know what I mean? Does that feel all? Did I cover that well enough? Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the brother?
Let's talk about the brother. let me
start the brother thing by saying, well, actually, let's pause on the brother for a second. I'll do a good segue. I see myself in this letter, not because we have parallel lives, but because, and if I'm wrong, please forgive me and please just fast forward through this episode. I see shame in this letter, and shame is my number one emotion. It is the first emotion that I go to. And then the next emotion I go to is defensiveness, because shame makes me feel vulnerable. It makes me feel like I am at risk, and then I need to protect myself. So I become defensive, right? So to me, I see myself in this letter and my lifelong struggle with shame as my biggest and most immediate emotion. If somebody cleaned my house, even someone I loved and trusted, and somebody who had seen, you know, the dirty corners of my entire being, the first feeling I would feel would be shame, because I would immediately think about the ways I would calculate the equation to equal I am not good enough. And this is why that happened. You know, my wife leaves me, it's because I'm not good enough. My wife does the dishes for me, it's because I'm not good enough and she thinks I wasn't going to do them. You know what I mean? I immediately go to shame. I immediately find out the equation in my head to where I am not, where I've done something wrong. And that's a defense mechanism. Like that's me, the most animalistic part of myself, trying to protect the little girl in me who grew up in volatility and grew up in a world in which love was made very, very conditional. And I don't know what your childhood was. I don't know why you turned to shame, or even if you relate to this or not. I'm definitely guessing here, but that's a big thing. That's going to be tied to this reaction to your family members and reactions to their unsolicited advice, because hopefully with work and maturity and time and effort and discomfort, your family members will be less overstepping, or they will respect your boundaries more, or they will recognize that these are points of sensitivity to you and they won't address you in this way anymore. But they might not. And the world will continue to throw their opinions of you, or the opinions of their assumed opinions of you, like me right now. We will continue to throw these opinions at you, you know? And to me, the biggest thing that has helped me heal that knee-jerk panic that I feel when I feel shame is to, I hate to say it, but it's like literally working on loving yourself. who would have thought that a letter about like shitty family comments turns into an answer about being safe in your own head and being comfortable being your own cheerleader. And I mean that externally, sure. Like you deserve to tell your family members how their comments make you feel. And the biggest help I can offer you is to learn how to say, they said those things and they bothered me. And like, I know I'm doing great. And they said those things and they bothered me. And I know myself well enough to tell them they bothered me, that, you know, that I want to be known intimately by my family members and I deserve that, you know? So I told them that was bothering me, you know, like it comes down to the relationship to yourself. And that's how you start to unravel that defensive feeling. You know, that's how you start to unravel that reaction, that shame-based reaction. Don't get me wrong, my darling. If somebody cleaned out my fridge or like cleaned my apartment, like my best friend, Spencer, I would clean my house before he came over to my apartment. You know, I would like furiously clean. That's like what I do when people come to my house. I actually love it as a motivator. But it is such it is a skin crawling feeling to think about people in my space when I haven't had the opportunity to polish it for them. So I totally relate. And also, I feel like your reaction is justified and at the same time coded in this shame.
No, I feel like I totally agree. Like, I recently had to take my car to the shop and like get it fixed, and they cleaned my car and I got in my car, and all I felt was mortified that these people had like cleaned my car for me. Like, I just was like, what is happening? And I am also married to a person who shows his love through cleaning, right? Who like takes care of people through cleaning. Like, it is, you know, Peter cleans so many things in our house that I have had to challenge myself to not be like, oh my God, does he think that I should have been doing this and am mortified by this, right? If we go to like dinner at somebody's house, like while everyone is like chatting in the living room, like he will go into the kitchen and like clean the kitchen for the host because he wants to show like thanks and kindness. And I think that like that has really had to teach me a lot about the ways in which I was viewing cleaning as like a moral thing, and the ways that like I'm like Sierra, right? Like, if people are coming over, like I clean the whole house and it's because I want to put the best foot forward for them. Whatever weird fucked up thing my family taught me about like cleaning and what it means about things. But I just want to like name that, right? And I want to name that, like, yes, your brother probably overstepped because he didn't ask you for permission to do it. And my guess is that the motivations for what he was doing here was in response to you saying how hard it is for you to find time to clean. And he's like just at your house, not doing anything. Like, he'll do this nice thing for you, and B, like trying to show you that he loves you by taking care of things that he knows are difficult for you or annoying or frustrating. Right. And I think that that is kindness, right? I think that that is him trying to show you love and support. And I totally understand that it reads as if like, oh my God, you don't think I can take care of myself. But my guess is that your brother probably does think you can take care of yourself. He just heard you say, I don't like doing this, or this is hard for me, and thought, oh, this is something I can do to help, right? This is something I can do to lighten the load for her. And I want to like position it in that way, because I recognize that the ways in which our siblings or our parents try and love us isn't enough, or comes in the wrong ways, or reads to us as something different. And I also know that sometimes love can be about control, right? Love can be about doing things that aren't super helpful for people, right? Like, your stuff about your mom wanting you to wash your hair differently comes from a place of her trying to keep you safe, even if it's fucked up, right? Your brother trying to clean for you is about him trying to support you and love you, even if it feels weird and invasive. Your brother talking to you about your future career path is meant, hopefully, to be mentorly or supportive or whatever it might be, even though it read to you as him questioning what you're doing, right? And all of these things can be true at the same time, right? Like, these things that particularly your brother, like, I'm still mad at your mom, but particularly your brother is doing, are coming from a place of love and are reading really differently than they might intend them. But part of, I think, growing into adult relationship with people is about recognizing and seeing, like, this is what you're trying to say, and I can try and guide you towards something that's going to read differently to me. And I can also kind of look at this and say, I see what you're trying to do here, and I see the love and attention and respect that's behind
Sam.
It. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to appreciate that love and respect, even if it's not the exact thing that I would have wanted, or even if it's not in the way that I would love it. And I'm actually going to show you love by trying to correct you in finding ways to express that love and better ways for me to hear it.
You know, it really reminds me of a huge life lesson I had about one of my sibling relationships. In my 30s, you know, one of my siblings is like, I would jokingly refer to them as like a searcher, you know, like they're a wanderer, you know, that's like what their spirit does. And that wandering has been both positive and negative in their life. And I think when I was younger, I thought the way that I could help them was to give them so many advice, was to give them so much advice and to give them opportunities and, oh my God, look, I looked up this program and you can get a degree in this city, or, hey, I think you should do this with your life next, because I saw it as a form of loving them, right? Trying to fix whatever I thought needed fixing. And I think it also made me feel better, not about their life, but it made me feel like I was doing something. But then I matured a lot, for other life reasons. And I realized that me trying to help my sister in that way was never actually helping her, right? It wasn't actually all of my, hypothesizing and suggestions for her life weren't doing anything to help her. And I it's not that I wasn't a helpful sibling, and it's not that she didn't feel loved by me, but that worrying and that sort of calculating, and kind of similarly to what your brother was saying, like, sure, that could be an offhanded comment that was helpful or not, but like, I think your brother might realize one day that you're just going to live your life and he's going to live his, and that's okay. I needed to learn that to love my sister actually meant to love her exactly as she was, and to support her when she specifically requests for it, and to give her advice when she specifically asked for it. But to not feel so personally attached to her life decisions. Does that make sense? Like, and I had to learn that. And so I'm offering my experience to give you a little perspective towards your brother. Again, not to excuse it. Like Sam said, you have every right to say, this is how this is landing on me. Please don't comment like that to me, or thanks for your advice. I'm going to do whatever I want, or whatever, however you want to respond.
Thanks for the advice. I'm going to do whatever I want. I want it on a t-shirt.
Good. I'm offering this perspective of my maturity glow up, of my revelation with my sister, because I'm reminding you that your brother might be older than you are, but he might not be more mature. He might be still figuring out his life like we all are. And so he's totally capable of overstepping and thinking that he knows, you know, what he believes is the right thing and whatnot. So
absolutely. And I think it's totally reasonable for you to say to him, right, thanks for your perspective on my future career. And also, when you talk about it like this, it makes me feel like I don't know what I'm doing, and I think that I do, right? Or thank you for cleaning my apartment. I can see that it was from a place of caring. If you could ask me next time, that would be really helpful, because I'm having a lot of feelings about the fact that you did it without asking me, right? Or like all of these things. And again, if he gets defensive, he gets defensive, but it's not your job to just swallow all of this to make sure that he doesn't get defensive, right? If he gets defensive, that's on him. That's his problem to deal with. And he needs to figure out how to hear this type of feedback without getting defensive. But I think that's kind of the underlying thing of all of this, right? Like, what your brother and your mom say about you is about them and not actually about you, right? It's about their own ideas of what your life should look like. It's about their own insecurities about their own fucking hair, or it's about their own sort of like feelings about cleanliness, right? And it's not actually about whether or not you are a competent adult who knows what they're doing and can take care of themselves. And so I just want to like name that. And I think for me, seeing some of that, particularly with my familial relationships, actually helped me offer them more empathy, right? Actually helped me offer them a broader perspective of how their love is showing up for me, and to see like, oh, that's not my parent being condescending and awful because they think I'm stupid, right? Like, that's just my parent enacting their own stuff about the world on me. And I can see that it comes from a place of love, right? I can see that they're trying to protect me. And is it good and helpful and healthy? Perhaps not. But can I see it as something different than them just trying to control me so that I can offer them more love and respect so that I can be more capable of doing cheerful and stupid and having it be about protecting my own peace as opposed to trying to protect them from their own bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, my darling, I know this is complicated and I also know that this is, you know, this is life work really here. You're going to be unfolding and unraveling these patterns and relationships and behaviors for a long time. And it does start to feel productive at some point, not just uncomfortable.
For sure.
Thank you so much for writing.
We love you deeply.
We hope this helps.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like more content from us or if you would like access to our monthly office hours, you can support us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you'll get an additional bonus weekly episode. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod.
You can slide into our DMs, send us your favorite relationship meme, but most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of Duvide Media. Original music, recording, editing, producing all magical things by our good friend Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his podcast and his music. And remember, people are always going to have opinions about our life. Most of the time, it is about them. It's about their wounds, their insecurity, their desire for control, and not actually about us, our value, our worth, and our life. And if all else fails,
just break up.